Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, August 1st, 2019. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, we explore the social club at HomebrewCon in Providence, Rhode Island. In the middle of the Homebrew Expo at HomebrewCon is an oasis of beer being poured by a rotating selection of homebrew clubs. We'll sample tasty beers and get some insight into how they were brewed from the brewers themselves. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows. And if you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear, including our tie-dye silicone pint and our Brewing Rainbow shirt. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. And if you'd do us a favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nosh comment, they say that new listeners will find us better that way. I don't know. Is it true? It's gratifying to our egos to read those things anyway. And if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. Thanks to everybody who's helping out. And if you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. I released another video episode this past Monday, and financial supporters got an early release notification, the recipe from the episode, and upper tier supporters got a behind the scenes video with content that won't be released to the public. This week, it's another no chill beer, an English mild, or at least my take on the style, my attempt. A super simple beer, and at only 3.6% ABV, it's great for summer sessioning. I took this recipe, you know, past where I've been going with no chill. I dry hopped it in the fermenter, which I haven't done in the past. So check that out on our video podcast feed or on YouTube. I'm recording this week's show and next week's ahead of time a little bit. We're getting to spend some time with friends who we don't see very often. So you may not have noticed that I'm doing that unless some big newsworthy thing happens in the beer world that I don't talk about. So if something big and noteworthy does happen that you think I should be commenting on, check back in a couple weeks. We usually don't deal with breaking news here, so it's probably a good thing. Let's go ahead and talk about our friends and sponsors, Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. You know that Dave from High Gravity has been building and selling electric controllers for a decade because nobody else was doing it back then in the beginning. Now, there are more electric brewing options than ever, and you can find a lot of them at highgravitybrew.com. There are, of course, the Warthog controllers and systems that Dave and Desiree build and sell. I have one. Steve has one. We love them. You see them all the time on the video podcasts. Single, two, and three vessel systems from 5 gallons up to 2 barrels. There's a high-gravity Warthog system that fits your needs. But did you know that you can find electric solutions from other manufacturers on highgravitybrew.com? For example, Dave says that the Brewer's Edge Mash and Boil with Pump is a great all-in-one system that's a great value in the 120-volt 5 gallon space at just $399. And there are also new controllers from Blickman, and there are other electric systems that you will recognize on highgravitybrew.com. There are many ways to take the pain out of propane by using electricity to brew your beer. And you can find them at family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com. And if you use the promo code EBC75BB, you can save $75 off your electric gear purchase. That's at highgravitybrew.com. Okay, the social club at Homebrew Expo at HomebrewCon is underappreciated, I believe. It's sort of like a mini club night every single day of the conference, most of the day. You can find two or three homebrew clubs set up there with many taps each, serving up amazing beers. So this year, Steve Wilkes of stevesbrewshop.com and I decided to take some time to explore the social club in detail. We are here in the HomebrewCon Social Club. This is a new feature. The homebrew I've had three partial beers and I can't, still can't talk.
Stop. We'll do it live.
Okay. Okay, we're here at the Homebrew Con Social Club. Steve Wilkes.
Yes, James.
We met a new friend. Who we got?
We've got William Tuttle from Connecticut. I can't read your thing.
Connecticut.
Introduce yourself, Will.
I'm Will Tuttle. I'm the owner of Connecticut Brewing in Jamestown, Rhode Island. Connecticut is the island that the town of Jamestown is on. I decided to open up a homebrew shop a couple of years ago. I was casting around for how it's done, and I came upon Steve's Brew Shop and then the Basic Brewing podcast, and you know, you met with Desiree from High Gravity, and I think talked about, you know, opening a shop with them and stuff, and it all just came together, and you guys have been a resource on a number of fronts, so I can't thank you enough. I mean, I owe my way of life to you guys right now.
It's all your fault.
I'm sorry. I'll buy you a beer later.
I appreciate that. That'll be great. HomebrewCon is in Providence. This is our hometown. This is our house. And it's just, I'm over the moon about having it here and having everybody see the beer scene in Providence and Rhode Island in general, you know.
So is it all cloudy IPAs up here?
Not us. Yeah, we have a couple of Rhode Island themed beers. Onlyville Wiener Spice, you know, a New York System hot dog with the meat sauce on it. Well, we've got a beer with that flavor in it. Dell's Lemonade Saison. Copyright. There's no copyright infringement. Sorry about that, Dell. And, so we're bringing a little bit of Rhode Island. Everybody's doing New England hazies. We'll let them do that, and we'll do the other stuff.
Awesome. Well, there you go.
It's kind of a small world, you know? I'm kind of speechless.
But I wouldn't want to paint it.
That's right.
All right, you've got taps behind you, but they're not set up.
So they're bringing the kegs up now, so as soon as they are, we'll have the signs up and we'll start pouring.
All right, we'll come back.
All right, great to meet you guys. Again, thank you so much. Welcome to Rhode Island. Welcome to Providence. Hope you have a great time.
Woo! Okay, we're in the social club. Tell me who you are and where you're from.
My name is Nicholas Greiner from the Merrimack Valley Homebrewers Club. And the beer, one of the beer that we're serving today is the New England IPA called Viking Luau. And it is New England IPA made with the Quake yeast? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's the Norwegian yeast.
The Kvike?
Kvike yeast.
That's the way I'm saying it.
Exactly. This beer is sort of going to be the highlight of our club night. We're sort of doing a Viking Hawaiian themed tiki kind of thing going on. And so the whole idea is, like, you have, like, the tropical flavors of the New England IPA, and then you're using the Norwegian yeast. So that's where the Viking Luau name comes from. But it's really interesting yeast. One of our brewers in our club brewed it. But this yeast, you can ferment it up to, like, 95 degrees Fahrenheit. And he's able to ferment it within 3 or 4 days. Very quick. And it's heavily dry hopped with all the popular, you know, New Age hops nowadays, Galaxy, Citra, Mosaic. That beer is also up for contention for the Melvin Brewing. The name is escaping me.
Boil Rumble.
The Boil Rumble, which is sponsored by Brewing Network. It's one of six beers that's going to be up for competition. If we win, they're going to brew it, put it into distribution. So. We're pretty excited about it, but we have a whole variety of other beers here. We have a beer that sort of tastes like pizza. We have like a sangria beer, a couple of barrel-aged beers. A whole variety.
This is delicious. It's very pineapple-y. It is very tropical. Do you remember which Kvike strain?
I don't. I wish the brewer was here. He's in a seminar right now.
Darn him. He's actually learning stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could tell you. I don't recall off the top of my head.
So is your club known for, like, wacky beers, or is this just to kind of show off for the conference?
It's sort of show off of what we can do. But we have traditional beers, too. We have a lot of Czech Pilsners. In fact, we have a couple Czech Pilsners. We contacted a farm directly from Czechoslovakia and had them ship the hops to us. So a little bit of a language barrier, and that was kind of complicated, but... I feel like the hops really are amazing. They're Saaz hops. They really kind of showcase the beer. So we have a couple of beers that are like that as well.
Well, can I get a little rinse and a taste of one of those?
Yeah. But you can see on the lacing, see the greenness.
Oh, my gosh.
So what's amazing about these hops, for whatever reason, after using them, fermentation after boiling, they're still very, very green. We don't know why. Something about the hops, I don't know if something happens during transportation, but we were really impressed by the hops that we got from them. So despite the troubles of trying to speak directly to a farm in Czechoslovakia, or the Czech Republic, the language barrier, I feel like it was worth it.
It's delicious.
Thanks.
The character, it is a very fresh hop character, not an American hop character,
yeah,
but very fresh and, I guess, noble. And it's a little hoppier than your average Pilsner, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's just reflective of the, American style. the other Pilsner, it may be a little less hoppy, but I'm not really sure off the top of my head. It shows, that's just my personal, what I wanted out of the beer. So I want maybe a little bit more bitterness. So that's what I'm
saying. It's very nice. Very nice. Well, I have to try. And then I'll leave you alone.
Yeah,
but I'll have to try the pizza saison.
Okay. This is brewed from one of our members. I think he used oregano, basil, and something else. But he also put tomatoes in it as well. So, yeah.
Is that the pizza beer?
This is one right here, yeah.
Okay. Is this your pizza beer?
That is, yes.
Who are you? And tell me, where are you from?
I'm Dana from Drake at Mass, Merrimack Valley Homebrew Club.
And what am I about to drink here?
So this is a pizza saison. It was a saison that I finished fermenting, threw in two large cans of crushed tomatoes, also roasted Roma tomatoes, which I pureed. And then after that, at kegging, I added a tincture of vodka with black pepper, red pepper flakes, basil, oregano, and parsley.
I have to say, Dana, I expected it to be disgusting. But it's not. It's actually very drinkable.
Thank you. That's the same response I got from most of the people in the club. So I'll take that as high praise.
I'm not retching right now. No, it's good. I don't know. It is tomato-y. And I don't know if I would have recognized what that was. You know how you can get weird ingredients in a beer and then taste it and go, because I'm drinking this in a beer, I have no idea what this is. I'm not sure I would have recognized it, but... You said there's oregano, right?
Correct.
I am getting the oregano. And where'd you put? How did you put in the oregano?
So all the spices were dried. I put it in a tincture with vodka. Let that sit.
That's right. Okay. I'm already forgetting things. This is we're like an hour into this thing. Wow. I don't know that I would drink a full pint, but I'm glad I had this sample.
Excellent. Thank you. That's kind of how I feel about it as well. I'm not going to drink a lot of it, but maybe a glass with the pizza. Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the curry beer that I had a few years ago. It's like, wow, that is really tasty. I don't know that I would, sit on the porch and drink pints of curry beer, but I'm glad I had it.
So. You never know unless you try. It might be perfect, and then you just, if it's not, you just don't tell people you ever did it.
All right. Well, thanks, Dana.
Thank you.
So tell me, who you are and where you're from?
We're from Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia.
And who are you?
I'm Joe. This is my wife, Angela.
Hi.
And what do y'all think about the pizza beer?
It's delicious. I mean, it's exactly what they say.
Like a pizza.
I'm amazingly not disgusted.
Amazingly, yes.
So are y'all serving beers this weekend? Or?
No, we're not. We didn't have anything ready.
Well, that you get to enjoy with the rest of us.
Exactly.
So what do y'all like to brew?
pretty much everything. Belgians, stouts, IPAs, whatever floats our boat that week.
Awesome. Well, have fun at the conference.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, we're still at the social club. Tell me who you are and where you're from.
Marco Borba, Littleton, Mass, Merrimack Valley Homebrew Club.
What am I drinking here?
You're drinking a sati, a traditional Finnish beer that's made with juniper branches and berries throughout the process.
It's really good. It's 10% alcohol, which is why I just got a little squirt. It's a cloudy beer. It's you said that the it's not as much banana flavor as normal, but there is banana character. It's spicy in kind of an herbal way. And it's delicious. Tell me about how you brew this beer.
Well, what's interesting about the beer is traditionally these beers are brewed with a baker's yeast. And a very specific Finnish baker's yeast, which is almost impossible to find in the United States. So we did not find it. And some alternatives to it are Hefeweizen yeast, because those Finnish baker's yeast produce a lot of the traditional Hefeweizen characters, banana, a little bit of clove. And the juniper counteracts that and balances the beer out. It's also not a boiled beer, which is really interesting. So it's brought down to, it's pasteurized, but then it's brought down to fermentation temperatures, pitched, creates a little bit of tartness, and you actually have to drink the beer relatively quickly before it really sours. So it's a very old school, ancient ale style of beer to produce, and a little bit of risk, because a lot of things can go wrong when you're not, being slightly unsanitary and a bit more of the old school brewing techniques open us up to some risk. But it's supposed to create more of those farmhouse Hefeweizen characters that we're looking for. Now, we did amp up the juniper in this particular beer because we really wanted it to be obvious. We've encountered a lot of times in competition where we say something is in a beer, and if it's not punch you in the face obvious, we get sort of hit with that. So we made a bit of a juniper tea and added a juniper tea to it at the end prior to kegging it and carbonating it. But it should be low carb, big punch of juniper, and some of those clove and Hefeweizen phenolics that you would normally get. But it's faded a little bit, but we're pretty happy with it. It should be cloudy, as you saw, like a Hefeweizen would be. But yeah.
Well, talk about the malt bill, because it looks like sort of a traditional barley wine, in my opinion.
Yeah. So it's actually mostly Pilsner malt. Mostly Pilsner and a small amount of pale malt, and then some darker caramel malts to give it a little bit of that extra sweetness. And then the process of brewing a sati is really interesting. Traditionally, you would have the long shoots of juniper branches that you would run the wort through as you're going into a fermenter to pick up the juniper characters. What we did, and it was really hard to find, is we found fresh juniper branches, and we threw them and rested them on top of our mash. And then we recirculated our mash over the top of those branches, and it just kept recirculating and hit all of the wood surface area and pulled some of that character, and then made that juniper tea like we talked about.
And you didn't boil, so you didn't boil away that character.
Nope. Yeah, we kept it going, and we had to compensate for our yield. Obviously, we weren't boiling anything off. So we made some, accommodations, because it wasn't totally traditional, but we definitely try to keep it as close to that tradition as we could. And neither one of us are Finnish, so we were, it's not traditional to us. We were just doing something that was an ancient ale that was sort of forgotten, that just picked up a little bit of legs over the last couple of years.
Well, I'm going to interrupt this conversation here to ask you guys what you think of the sati.
I think it's great. It's I was telling Bob, my friend Bob.
Oh, Bob.
I was telling Bob that, so let's pretend that we lived in a world where there weren't any kind of manufactured sweet things, desserts, and you wanted to, take your best girl out and give her something really special. So you can't have chocolates. You can't have cake. You can't have a special. But she got sati, and this stuff is like a dessert in a really kind of sophisticated, nice way. I mean, I would definitely, drink this at the end of a meal. I wouldn't drink two, three pints of this. I'd be under the table. Well, I'll be under the table no matter what. But even if it takes 8 or 9 pints. But it's just so kind of caramely and soft. And it kind of reminds me of a Werther's...
Original?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
You're wearing your sweater, which helps. Your nice Werther's Original Grandpa sweater.
Yeah, that's right. I'm wearing that right now. Caramel. I couldn't think of the word caramel.
All right.
Does remind me a little bit of, instead of a beer, if it were an ice wine, it's a little bit like an ice wine, meaning it carries a lot of sweetness. It's luscious. It's very easy to drink. It's not challenging in the best sense of that word. And you could serve it for dessert. You could serve it You know, it's just kind of like a little something with a little biscuit, a little English biscuit. It'd be great.
All right, we're still at the Social Club. We've moved to another booth. Tell me who you are and where are you from?
Mark Larson, Charlestown, Rhode Island, and I'm a member of the Rhode Island Fermentation Technicians, RIFT.
RIFT. So tell me what we're drinking here.
We are drinking Sunfish New England IPA. It's an IPA with almost entirely citra. CTZ for bittering, and everything else is late citra hop.
That's delicious. Tell me about the strategy. Tell me all about this beer. How do I make this beer if I want to make this beer? Start from the beginning. Do my job for me.
Oh, boy. It's pretty high gravity. I think it's, what did we start with? 1076.
Wow.
Actually, it's based on kind of a Sip of Sunshine clone recipe that I've kind of slightly modified. And the key, I think the key difference here is that I used Imperial juice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeast, which I find doesn't really flocculate out so much, so it leaves very, as you can see, very cloudy, very thick-looking kind of beer. And so I think, Citra really stands out on this.
Oh, yeah, it's very candy-like in my opinion. It's very...
Yeah, we were just having a discussion on the Citra hops that it has its own kind of almost a diacetyl kind of flavor that it brings to it, like the caramely candy sweetness from the hops alone. Even though this had been fully attenuated out, there's still a sweetness that we find kind of gets added from the Citra hops.
I wouldn't say diacetyl because that's a bad word.
Yeah, but, well.
But I don't get any like butter or butterscotch or on my palate. But I get kind of a candy character. So what was your hopping strategy? How did you do it?
Very late hop. Like I said, there was only a small amount of CTZ for the 60-minute boil, and then everything else was Whirlpool. And I apologize, I can't remember the amount during the Whirlpool. And then a dry hop of Citra as well at the end.
I think you nailed it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy, guys. Cheers.
Okay, here we are in the Social Club again. Tell me who you are and where you're from.
Scott Ravala, San Diego, California. I'm pouring a double IPA, 9.3% ABV, heavy on the Maris Otter, sort of this dark roasted pale malt, and heavily late hopped.
Wow.
So I think it's pretty aromatic. I wanted to a super aromatic double IPA with a strong malt base.
So it's a San Diego lawnmower beer.
Pretty much. Yeah, 9.3 or 9.4.
Wow.
You want to try it?
Oh, my goodness. Now, what club are you with?
Quaff, out of San Diego.
So how did y'all get here?
We had a bunch of kegs trucked out in a cold ship from the brewery, from Ballas Point. They offered to do it for us because we have such a great relationship with the homebrew club there, Homebrew Mart Supply Shop. So they said, we'll do it. So they did it.
Well, that's awesome. Is this the farthest that y'all have traveled for a homebrew con?
This is the farthest we've ever trucked beer, for sure.
Well, this is an excellent beer. Congratulations. It is, it's nice and hoppy. And there's kind of a candy malt backbone that makes it really nice and drinkable and fresh and delicious. So congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Okay, tell me who you are and where are you from.
My name is Jamie Burnett from the Rhode Island Brewing Society, and I've got here my breakfast day sour, dessert sour, with lactose, blueberries, and vanilla bean.
Mm. Woo! That'll wake your palate up.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
It's quite tart and sweet and full-bodied. I use a whole lot of flaked oats and golden naked oats. But the real star of the show is the yeast, which I got from my friend Brendan Kennedy, who works at the Guild now. It is the Bootleg Biology Solera blend combined with his wife's sourdough culture. And I don't know exactly what yeast makes the magic, but I know it ferments cleanly at 80 degrees, comes out with this really nice acidity that complements any fruit I've paired it with. It's a wonder yeast, and the beer is built on that.
Wow. And so when you're using this yeast combination, Can you repitch it, or do you have to reformulate every time?
I harvest it from the bottom of each fermenter, so I have a ton of jars in the fridge just waiting to be pitched. One thing I have found is I have to harvest it in the primary before I move it on to the secondary. Otherwise, the fruit makes a real problem for me when I'm trying to get more cultures out of it. But in general, everything I've harvested from it and then pitched, it's gone to do the same stuff its parents did. So definitely a great yeast. I hope that all the generations I have in jars continue doing what they do before they diverge.
So do you top crop, or how do you harvest?
Top cropping is when you like take everything off the top and then just
you just skim during active formation fermentation the foam and the top.
No, I wait until the very end, and I drain all the beer off, and then I wash the yeast cake at the bottom to try and remove as much hops. I mean, there's not usually much hops with this sour, but anything in there that I think is an yeast cake. I'll take the whole thing and wash it in a jar, and then I just kind of take off the top.
And how do you treat the fruit?
Now, the fruit, I get my fruit at Dollar Tree, and I don't really do much for it. They sell it really cheap bags for a dollar of it frozen, and I just put it in the bottom of the carboy and then rack the beer from the primary onto it, and that's really all I do. I take it off after about of a month. Blueberries haven't given me any problems. Raspberries really jammed up my siphon, but other than that, I've had some really good results.
Well, this is delicious. It's nice and tart and clean and refreshing and fruity and complex, but the body is nice and substantial, so it's not like it's not too thin. It's very nice. Very well done.
Thank you very much. The concept was based off, for breakfast day, I wanted to do something kind of like blueberries and granola and yogurt all in a cup together.
Oh, wow.
And I really like how it turned out. We're going to be serving some tonight at club night in a blender with some vanilla ice cream, just to see how over the top we can push it.
I love that.
Well, we're come by our booth. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, tell me who you are and where you're from.
My name is Rich Spare. I'm from Cranston, Rhode Island. I'm with the Rhode Island Brewing Society.
What am I drinking?
It's called The Tale of Two Quads. It is a Belgian-style quadruple ale. Half of it was aged on French oak for 3 months. The other is a quad that was blended two-thirds parts quad, one-third part dark cherry sour. So I took those two components, the quad and the blended sour, and put them all together.
Wow. That's really good. It's super drinkable. You know, it's not like sticky and heavy, but the oak comes through nicely. It's kind of toasty and it's complex, but I could drink a whole pint of this and be very happy.
You'd be very happy, and you get happier as you drink more of it.
and then very sad.
Depending on your night.
Okay, remind us who you are and where you're from.
Yeah, my name's Alex McIntosh. I'm with the Rhode Island Brewing Society, living in Providence, Rhode Island, the home club for this year's Homebrew Con.
What am I drinking?
Right now you're drinking my triple New England IPA, made with just pretty simple grist of pale malt and oat malt, and a lot of Galaxy hops, along with the Bootleg Biology NIPA blend. So our club was very lucky. We reached out to Bootleg Biology because we love their yeast, and they donated our club about 10 packs of various yeast to brew up and display at the social hour here at the Homebrew Con. So we have various Bootleg Biology yeast on tap, and this one is made with a NIPA blend.
Wow. Now this is a huge, huge beer in many ways.
Yeah.
Now, is this technically still a NIPA? Is it still in the range, would you say?
I mean, nowadays, range is really whatever you want to make it, so I'm calling this a triple NIPA.
Well, it is big. Cheers. There's quite a lot of bitterness for a NIPA, if you don't mind me saying.
No. So the keg's been stored at the cellar here. The guy's been doing great. But, you know, you can't help but shake the keg up a little bit. But you also need that good bitterness to cut through a little bit of the NIPA sweetness. It's 10%, so you get the sweetness from the finishing gravity of it's a little bit higher, and the alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, it's still drinkable, but it's big, and kind of the hops are like big, and there's a lot more resinous character in there, and it is nice, very nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I keep saying it, and I'll continue saying it. Rhode Island, small state, big beer.
And you guys are proving it this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're happy to be here. And when Homebrew Con's in your hometown, you go big or go home.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, James.
All right, tell me who you are and where you're from.
All right, I'm Scott Mendes from New Bedford, Massachusetts, and I am part of the Rhode Island Brewing Society.
And this is the second triple New England IPA. Alex hooked me up with the first one, and this is yours. Tell me about this beer.
Yeah, so this is a triple IPA brewed with Citra, Sabro, and El Dorado. It was meant to be a double, but the NIPA blend attenuated more than expected, and it ended at 9.2%. But it hides it very well, so I hope you can make it to, tonight, club night.
Thank goodness for small glasses.
Yes, absolutely.
So this beer, Alex's was more kind of resinous, which I think that is in the name.
Yeah.
More bitterness. This is more fruity, more of what I would say is a true kind of NIPA, even though triple NIPA is not really a, it's a new thing, and you can do whatever you want.
I'm bringing it in. It's a new style now, triple NIPA. So this grain bill, it's an experimental grain bill for me. For the first time, I added flaked barley into the mix with flaked oats, two-row, and a little bit of honey malt for color adjustment, but nothing crazy.
It's really good. It's really bright. The hop character is super bright. And the body is substantial, but not cloying and sweet. And it's not something that would slow you down if you wanted to drink a lot of this. And you could drink a lot of this in a hurry.
Yeah, it's a little dangerous. So it was a 1075 OG, and it finished around 1008. So it attenuated a lot, but it still has body, which is awesome. I think the flaked barley did something magical in there. It really helps. You never get too full, so it's dangerous.
and which was the bootleg yeast?
That was the NIPA blend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And what pitching rate did you have to adjust up because of the gravity?
So I made a 2-liter starter, and I would say it was around 300 billion cells for pitching.
Well, very nice.
This
is super delicious. You guys, as I told Alex, you guys are knocking it out of the park.
Awesome. Yeah, we have a lot of talented brewers here. It's always, you learn something new depending on who you talk to, and it goes a long way. It's a great club.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Tell me who you are and where you're from.
Aaron DeBoer, Crystal, Minnesota, from the Northeast Brewers Alliance, based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And what am I drinking here?
This is a Russian Imperial Stout that was aged in a Four Roses bourbon barrel.
And what is for those who don't know, not me, of course I know, but what is Four Roses?
Four Roses is a bourbon that is made in the United States of America. I don't know exactly. I don't remember exactly where. Is it Kentucky? I don't know.
Oh, well, if it's bourbon, it's got to be Kentucky, right?
No, actually, bourbon is American. It's not necessarily Kentucky. So a little off script here, but to be called straight Kentucky bourbon, it needs to be in Kentucky. But you can have straight Kentucky or straight whiskey in bourbon from anywhere in the United States. It's American, not Kentucky.
Wow, I learned something.
Yeah.
This is delicious. It's nice and rich and... not quite milkshakey, but in its richness. But I'm not getting a whole lot of bourbon. Maybe it's because I've been drinking, for a few hours already today.
That can
but happen. but it's nice and chocolatey, and I do get the wood character, and it comes through on the nose as well. So talk about the details. How'd you make it?
Sure. So this is a really big beer. This is about 14%. So it was a challenge to get people to do it. We needed 13 or so people to fill a full-size bourbon barrel, so we kind of had to ask nicely and provide some equipment, too. So we have a pretty big club system that we've offered that Club Systems mash tun in particular out to people. As a result, you need to use about a 15 gallon or bigger mash tun to get enough wort to get 5 gallons. So that had a pretty strong equipment requirement. And so that was a bit challenging. And then the ferment was challenging too. So you had to make sure to oxygenate throughout the initial part of the ferment, make sure you pitch the right amount of yeast, make sure you used other techniques like heating it up at the end to make sure it finishes out, and hopefully get that 1140-ish beer down to something around 1030.
Wow.
And so it ended about 1030, the blend. Wow. And then this is part of our club barrel program. So we actually have two of these barrels, and had to get 13 people over to the house and try out all of the beers, make sure they're all up to snuff, and then put it into the barrel.
What yeast did you use?
This was American Ale. It was 1056. Yeah. There was two. Kind of depended on what availability we had, because you kind of had to buy out homebrew stores a little bit. And granted, we do live in Minnesota, so we do have Midwest and Northern Brewer, and so we got some good ones. But I think it was a mix of 1056 and 1272 American 2, which can attenuate a little bit better.
This is very nice. Now I'm starting to, as it warms up a little bit, I'm starting to get a little bit more heat.
Yep.
But still, it's not like, you know, off-putting. Not outputting.
Or that. Well, drink too much of it.
See, on the audio thing, I'll cut that out. But it's very nice. Very drinkable. Very well done.
So
it's a collaborative effort?
Yep, definitely collaborative.
So just between you and me, did any of the beers not make it into the barrel?
So we actually had a bit of an issue with some of the beers. So we actually have two of these barrels. So we had about 25 people make beer. And we had half of them that attenuated to the target and came out around 10:30, and then we had another half of them that attenuated to about 10:40-50. And so that's a little bit too under attenuated, so we kind of split them up, and we put the 10:30s into one barrel, and we put the 10:40s-50s into another barrel. And so we have a barrel that we call the high FG, the high finishing gravity beer, and the low finishing gravity barrel. So yeah, we did have a bit of an issue with getting some of the beers attenuated, and so we split them up and we put them into different barrels, and now we're managing those barrels a little bit differently. This beer is still in the barrel. We actually just pulled an early sample to bring it here, to bring it to HomebrewCon, and we thought it was good enough to do that, but we'll see how it progresses. Maybe we'll get more of that spirit character if it stays in there a little bit longer, but it's getting close, so we're watching it closely.
It's delicious. Getting more chocolate as it warms up as well.
Yeah, it's better.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Cheers. Thank you.
Okay, tell me who you are and where you're from.
Sure. My name is Jesse Ellis. I'm from South Coast, Massachusetts.
And what's your club?
South Shore Brew Club.
And what are we drinking here?
We're drinking a 15-minute boil extract session IPA based on your session pale ale recipe.
I was going to say, it sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
So, as I get choked up, talk about the recipe. What did you do?
So it's the basic recipe that you'd put together. I did a larger volume batch, but I still use the regular 12 pounds because I do double batches usually. 12 pounds of DME, extra light DME. I use Citra and Amarillo. They're the two hops that I just think play nicely together in these beer styles. And then I did a double dry hopping regime on it too. It was actually kind of cool. It was the first time that I'd experienced hop creep to any significant degree. Because initially it finished out at like, I don't know, 10, 11. I added the first dose of dry hops in primary. It kicked back up and dropped down to probably 10:08. I added the second dose of dry hops after things had quieted down, and then it kicked up again and dropped down to about 10:05, which means that I kegged this literally Wednesday night. So it is as fresh can be.
Wow. It's delicious. So when we talk about hop creep, that is enzymatic activity that happens in the keg or in the dry hopping, that where the sugar, carbs are broken down more into fermentable sugars and more fermentation takes place. Is that essentially it?
Yeah, it seems to be the case. It was a new experience for me, so yeah.
Wow.
No, it's really good. It tastes a lot like your 15-minute pale ale.
Mm-hmm.
A little different. Hop schedule's a little different, but the beer's basically the same beer.
Yeah, it tastes a lot lighter than...
These guys have been giving us like 9 and 10% alcohol beers and barrel aged.
Yeah, I think
the last beer I had was a 14% barrel aged beer. So this is a lot lighter than that, but it's still got a fairly substantial mouthfeel.
Yeah.
The malt character is good, even though it's an extract beer. You know, we say you can make good extract beers if you know what you're doing. And so you've played a lot with that 15-minute concept?
Yeah, I've tried all sorts of different hop combinations. I like to use it. I'm probably going to be doing it a couple of times with all the hop samples I've picked up at the conference today. But I think probably the two best ones are the Citroen Amarillo, and then there was also a Mandarina Bavaria one that came out great, too. Yeah,
it's really good. It reminds me a lot of the hop samplers that we've been doing. You know, the hop character is really fresh and up front, but then it pairs well with what's going on in the background.
Yeah, it's just a delicious, easy beer. And again, to reiterate, you can make great beers with extracts. If the extract's fresh and the hops are fresh, yeast is good, pay attention to sanitation, you got a good beer.
The only other thing I did differently, aside from your normal recipe, was instead of Crystal 60, I used Crystal 40. I wanted a little bit more of that lighter character with a little more breadiness. And there we go.
Very good. Great job.
Thanks.
Okay, tell me who you are and where you're from.
I'm Gary Sharp from Badass, which is Brewers and Drinkers around Silver Spring, Silver Spring, Maryland.
All right. And here in front of us, we have little squirt bottles full of multicolored liquids that look suspiciously like Skittles.
Yeah, so the take is kind of our own take on a German Berliner Weiss. So we got a sour and then Skittles simple syrup, which was made by boiling Skittles, letting it cool, removing the waxy part. And then you have Skittles simple syrup.
So how do we do this? First of all, tell me about the base beer. I have to taste the base beer.
So base beer is just a kind of pale sour, barrel aged for about 6 months in a 5 gallon barrel, and made with the idea of adding the Skittles simple syrup.
Wow, that's a nice clean tart beer. For the first beer that I've had of the day, it really it's got the taste buds going.
It's a good breakfast beer, you know. I always eat candy for breakfast. So,
all right. So fix me up. I'll let you. Which is your favorite Skittle flavor, or is there a blend?
If you do them all, we call that tasting the rainbow. It's a couple drops of each.
All right, fix me up. It's remarkably not fun looking.
No, if you mix them all together, it gets a little brownish. And the base beer was a little clearer, but coming to social hour, it gets shaken up a little bit.
Oh, that's tasty. That's a fun beer. So was this your idea?
Yes, so it was part of our Simpsons theme for club night, because there's a scene in The Simpsons where Homer walks into the Quickie Mart and asks Apu for that beer with candy floating in it, you know, Skittle Brow. So we knew we had to do a Skittle Brow.
That's awesome. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Enjoy.
Tell me who you are and where you're from.
My name's Alex Schwartz. I'm from Ithaca, New York.
And what am I drinking here?
You're drinking an English Mild.
And tell me about this beer. It's delicious.
So it's a nice sessionable beer. It's about 3.3% alcohol. It's got a little bit of chocolate malt in there to give it a little body and backbone. But it's primarily... Maris Otter.
Coincidentally, I have bottled just a few days ago an English mild with Maris Otter and chocolate malt at 3.6% ABV.
Excellent.
So cheers. What was the hopping on yours?
It was just two charges of EKG, about a half ounce each, one right at the beginning and one right at flame out.
I did 1 ounce of Fuggle at 60 minutes, and then 1 ounce dry hopped in the fermenter. So, they're actually fairly similar beers.
Excellent. That sounds good.
What yeast did you use?
Just the SO4.
Oh, okay. I used Imperials. Oh shoot. It was the season, the latest seasonal. Which I'm not going to remember. I'll insert the name later, and you'll hear my voice that sound very different. But these are. Do you like to brew a lot of these kinds of beers?
Yeah, I like to have a couple beers and still feel like I can function as an adult, especially with small children in the house.
And the morning after club night, this is nice to kind of ease into the day, you know what I mean?
That, and you know, if you find a breakfast stout or something around here, would be nice. A little roasty, a little coffee.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, good job. Thank you, sir. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Voyager. It was Voyager. That was a that was the Imperial Strain. Okay. Whew. All right.
Well, thanks again to everybody who talked to us. Man. A ton of delicious beers, as you could tell. And could you tell also that those last two interviews were recorded on the final day, post-club night? My voice was about done, but, you know, I'm looking forward to Nashville next year already. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com, or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.